coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
Not many people get to leave this world on a chuckle.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
Why does that look like Rambo?
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie has been rated PG-13 by the Motion Picture Association of America.
What's up? Happy Monday, you dirty ice hole seminum of batches. Welcome to a new episode of Huntsville Home Video. My name is Jack Spade. With me, Leanne Foster. The whole point of this here podcast that you have come to know and maybe tolerate every now and again on a Monday is to show my good friend Leanne movies that she has never seen. We talk about them. We tell tales about life. We leave better people. We make you better people.
I always feel like people who are around us become better people. And
right?
I'm glad you said it, because
yeah.
I've felt it, and I'm glad you said it.
It's out in the world now, and everyone can chew on it and digest it and, you know, just acknowledge.
Try not to upchuck on it.
That together, Jack and Leanne just make better people.
Oh, man. Who knew the world needed these heroes?
We did.
Yeah, that's true. What's up, friend?
I'm just ready to talk about one of my favorite Michael Keaton movies ever.
Okay.
Today, we are talking about a little ditty called Johnny Dangerously.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about it?
I loved it. It was super cute. It was super funny.
Right. Yeah. Hell yeah.
It was super funny.
Love this movie.
Uh-huh.
A movie that you had no knowledge of whatsoever.
Had no idea what it was about. You just told me it was funny, and so I took your word for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 1984, I believe, is when this came out. You were -6.
Yes, yeah. I was. My parents had just gotten married.
Okay.
Yep.
They probably went on their first date to Johnny Dangerously.
Maybe they did. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, I wonder.
Huh. I'll have to ask.
I often wonder sometimes about the movies that my dad watched, like back in the day. And I've had these conversations with him before. I'm like, "What did you watch this movie when, you know, it came out?" He's like, "No." Like, did you like this movie? He's like, "No."
Right.
Like, even now, he thinks all movies are dumb.
Right. Most, or is it just the movies you like that he thinks are dumb?
Well, so a lot of the movies that I like, he thinks are dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've told this on the podcast before, but I was talking to him one day and he was like, "Yeah, I sit around and I watch, like, I've got satellite TV, I got dish TV, I have all these movies, and I watch them, and they're all dumb. These new movies today are so stupid. Like, I just watched this stupid new movie called Tron." And I was like, "Dad, that movie came out in 1982. He's like, "Well, it was dumb then, too."
I love that.
And I was like, they made a sequel that came out, you know, in like 2011. He's like, "Was that stupid?" I was like, "You should watch it." He's like, "I don't want to waste my time with this stupid shit."
Right. I already didn't like it.
I have yet to get his opinion on this podcast.
You know what? Honestly, like, I've never met your dad. I would love to meet your father. Don't need his opinion. I feel like we should steer clear of it.
I'd call him up and he'd be like, "Your podcast is for dirty ice holes."
Yeah.
And some of my batches.
Actually, he probably should just be our voice, you know, of the podcast.
Right.
Right? We should flip it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's our marketing degree at work.
we could sum up this podcast in about 30 seconds. Like, "Hey, Dad, what'd you think about this movie?" Jeez. That is dumb.
"What'd you think about us?" Dumb.
I don't know why you have to curse so much.
Right.
Like, does it add anything to the show?
You're fargin' right it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny Dangerously, a movie that I am a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw this movie kind of retroactively because my first big experience with Michael Keaton was, of course, 89's Batman.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I like Batman. I like this Michael Keaton guy. I want to see everything he's been in. Beetlejuice. Have you ever seen Beetlejuice?
I have seen Beetlejuice.
Right on.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Whoa. Don't get.
Look, if I get one, I feel like I can be cocky about it.
That's fair.
It's actually very not fair, but I'm just going to go with it.
What about Mr. Mom?
No.
Great Michael Keaton movie.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplicity?
No.
Do you know the premise of that one?
No.
So Michael Keaton ends up cloning himself so that he has more time to like do stuff with the family and stuff.
Oh, but that
each,
one.
Each clone has its kind of own different personality.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all very Michael Keaton-y. But okay. Some of them, like, here's the dumb Michael Keaton. Here's the smart one. Here's the aggressive one. Good stuff.
Okay.
And another favorite of mine, The Dream Team, which is about a group of mental patients that get taken out of the hospital to go see a baseball game, and they end up witnessing like a crime, and they're on the run in the big city trying to get away from their would-be murderers.
Why didn't we watch that?
I mean, we could. We have time.
It's on the list now.
All right, I'm adding it on there.
I don't need to know anything more. That premise is amazing.
It does have also one of, if you start breaking down an actor's top 10 lines,
okay,
it has one of Michael Keaton's best. And that's, he's just walking out of, they're about to like leave the hospital, and he's like, it's great to be young and insane.
That needs to be on a tattoo.
All right.
Yeah. Get that one while you're at it. I love it.
But yeah, so after Batman came out, I just started, you know, I'd go to the video store every weekend, start renting Michael Keaton movies, came across Johnny Dangerously, and I'm like, oh, looks like a gangster movie. I like gangsters. I like crime and violence. And I like comedy, too. This movie has all of those things.
Has everything. Yeah, it was super cute.
You want to just get in and start talking about some Johnny Dangerously?
Well, it starts out with your boy Weird Al.
Hell yes.
And as soon as I heard that one line, I was like, oh, here's another reason why Jack loves this film. His boy's on there. And also, what a freaking cast on this movie, too.
Right?
You know?
And a great Weird Al song, too. In fact, that is my second choice for Weird Al karaoke. If ever given the chance, if I'm in a Weird Al kind of mood.
Your first one's Gangster's Paradise, right?
No, my first one is Dare to be Stupid.
Oh, okay.
And yep. Now that the world is opening back up, we'll hit a karaoke bar. No. We'll sing some Weird Al.
I'm not a karaoke-er. I will go to karaoke. I will sit at the table and watch. I may even sing along at the table. I will not go up and sing karaoke. And so far, no matter how drunk I've gotten, no one's been able to convince me to do it yet.
We're going to change that.
Oh God.
We are going to change that.
Is that when I get my strip club breakfast?
Afterwards, yeah.
Should I do both in the same day, or is it too much?
Man, Vegas is reopening.
Oh, man.
We're going to go. We're gonna do some karaoke.
I don't think I'll do it.
Strip club breakfast.
I think I'll stay strong on the karaoke.
I disagree.
Okay, we'll see.
But we'll table this conversation for a later
date. But we are in 1935, and when when the damn car drives by and it hits the 1935, which you think is just numbers on the screen, I fucking howled.
Right off the gate, you're getting chuckles.
I fargin howled. Michael Keaton is a sweet, like, gourmet waiter at a pet store, the owner of the pet store. And how convenient is this, having a bird to answer the phone?
How awesome would it be to have a bird answer the phone?
I've never been one to want a pet bird. I've never understood people who had pet birds. I'm like, they just shit in it. It's gross to me.
Okay. I mean, you've basically just described humans also.
Well,
but
I know, but it just seems like it's all over everywhere, you know? to have one answer the phone, I feel like it would be great.
I'd be with it.
Mm. While he's on the phone with his ma, some punk comes in and tries to steal a puppy.
Mm-mm.
Don't do that. And he gets caught. And then he starts to get the leg on a stool lecture, right?
Yes.
What was your phrase? Like, let me... What is that you say? Like,
let me rap with you, kids.
Yeah. So we go back in his story to 1910. Things start to get fuzzy. And that's what happens when you do a flashback. And we go back to 1910, and we're hearing about New York at that time and how it's full of immigrants and just like a one block radius. And
this narration is all done over like B-roll footage.
Yes.
From the 20s.
From the 20s. There was something about like there was a law that they had to stay out of their apartment for at least 4 hours a day with a coat and hat on and walk around. Like, it was super funny.
Because when you think about that B-roll type footage from that era, you just see people hustling and bustling outside wearing coats, like blowing in their hands to keep them warm. And that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Yes. And we get introduced to his dear old mom. Ma Kelly. And she was like, the Lower East Side sucks. And she's super old. you know, even though but she has a younger son, but she seems super old than what she could be. So keep that in mind. But Johnny at the time is a paper boy and it's his mom's birthday and they're going to celebrate when he's done with his papers. But we got competition. Some damn Danny Vermin comes in on his corner.
Some young Sumnum a batch.
Right. And he's real terrible. And I love when there's a blind guy that walks by and he cuts the leash of the CNI dog. And you just hear the crash that the dog caused in the street.
There's so many good visual gags in this movie.
Yes.
It's one of those movies that, you know, some comedies you can just zone out and listen to. But This is the one with a lot of sight gags.
Yeah, you got to watch.
One of my favorites is early in the movie when Johnny's talking to the kid in the pet store and he's putting the price tags on the dogs.
Yes, I've got it in here because we cut back and forth from the story to him telling the story. And it's super freaking funny. So there's a turf war now between the paper boys, but Johnny has a fist fight and he wins and he catches the eye of a gangster, Jocko Dundee,
played by the late great Peter Boyle.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he sees this, likes him, and offers him a chance to make a 50, but old Johnny doesn't want to break the law.
No, it would break his ma's heart.
Break his ma's heart, so he declines, but the gangster says, Dundee says, head to Club 25 if you change your mind. Meanwhile, also I love his bumper sticker. I'd rather be stealing. That was super funny. Yeah. So Johnny heads to his apartment and there's this whole montage of him going up the stairs, which took forever. And are those the Muppet guys? Were they just two old guys? Or I thought they were the old Muppet guys.
They were Statler and Waldorf.
I did. Were they not?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. Are they just two old dudes?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't have my glasses on when I watched the movie, apparently, because I thought maybe it was the Muppets.
This movie has Muppets? Yeah, that's awesome.
I really did. Anyways, I was wrong. So he finally makes it to his apartment and the doctor comes out and says his mom needs an operation on her pancreas. And this week only, it'll cost $49.95. So he's got to be able to make the money. So keep that in mind. But we meet little brother Tommy. And we also see a picture of their father in the electric chair. And Johnny gives his mom an ashtray for her birthday. And she's like, I've been thinking of taking up smoking. This really cinches it. And she's only 29 years old. That made me laugh.
Yep.
She looks like an old maid and she's 29.
Like she's 80.
So Johnny decides that he's going to get that $50. So he, Dundee, and the men head to Club Maroney. And
which is an interesting commentary on healthcare.
Right. Oh, yes.
That still holds true today. Hey, something's wrong with you. You know, you want to fix it? Turn to crime.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We made a whole amazing TV show about this called Breaking Bad.
Don't you hope that Johnny Dangerously was the inspiration for Breaking Bad?
Wouldn't that be awesome? Vince Gilligan, the showrunner of Breaking Bad, seems like he has a good sense of humor. Like,
right.
You know, he always described it as like what would happen if like Mr. Tibbs was Scarface. And I'm thinking, no, he just watched Johnny Dangerously.
He was like, I got something there.
What if Johnny Dangerously wasn't funny?
He was that Leonardo DiCaprio meme sitting at the TV like, ooh, that, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
So they get to the club and then you know how, you know, you always see in the movies the bad guys like winking at each other or nodding. And so all the guys go around to nod and look and everything. And it was just, it took so long. It was so funny. So they get in and it's a gambling joint for henchmen and henchwomen, as they have written on the bathroom doors. And Marino is the owner, and he's muscling in on Dundee, that ice hole.
Oregon corksucker.
I'm going to put your bells in a sling, you bastige. Super funny. So while they're in the middle of this gambling of this casino, Johnny comes in to deliver papers, which I don't think's a thing, but he came in anyway to deliver papers.
I mean, even if you're throwing some dice, you got to know what's going on in the world. You got to get the evening edition.
Right. You need to know whether you have that money to spend or not. You don't know what's going on in the world. But conveniently enough, these papers have guns in them. And don't worry, though. They just want to rob Maroney. They just want to take his money. But Dundee gets shot Oh, no. So Johnny has to go into action, and he throws the paper and knocks the gun out of the guy's hand, and he's, like, jumping over tables and swinging around, knocking those teeth out, like, on the craps table.
That was a good bit.
Luckily, Dundee is still alive, and Johnny is able to save him from Maroney thanks to his lucky cigarette case in his pocket.
Stops the bullet.
And you corkscrews, as they leave. So they asked him what his name was, and he says, my name's Johnny. Johnny Dangerously.
Well, the he says Johnny, and then the driver is like, yeah, kid, you live dangerously.
Yes.
He's like, oh, Johnny Dangerously. Which is a great name, one that when I first got into radio, I was like, I just call myself Jack Dangerously.
Oh, no. We would not be friends.
And then, right?
We would not be friends.
Well, I mentioned that to my boss at the time, and he's like, you're going to make your last name an adverb? And I was like, oh, you get the reference. And he's like, what reference? I was like, Johnny Dangerously? And apparently, no, he just knew his, he just was well-versed on his adverbs.
Right, he just knew his adverb.
I was like, dude, you see Johnny Dangerously? It's a great movie.
Well, that line killed me in the movie later on when she says that.
Yeah.
Absolutely killed me. I was like, it is an adverb. How ridiculous. So we jump then in the story to years later, where his only worries are girls and dancing, and he starts doing the Charleston, and then he goes into break dancing, which was super funny.
Which was really Michael Keaton.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
If you'd have said yes, I'd have believed you, though. I was almost there.
I know. I saw the look on your face. And sometimes when you get super excited about something, you're like, oh my God. And I didn't want to disappoint you because the immediate look of Lily disappointed, it just it cuts through to your soul.
It should.
It's like, oh, you lied to me. And I believed you because we're hell buddies and you don't lie to your hell buddies.
Well, you're Fargan ice hole, man.
You dirty, sneaky son of a bitch.
So he's been clean all this time. He's been living a good life, not getting into any crime, until about this time where there's a problem with his mother's thyroid. It simply can't be found.
And you know, when I was a kid watching this movie, that growing list of ailments was always super funny to me. And now at 42, it's just becoming a stark reality.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like now I was watching that going, oh, geez.
I'm like, where is my thyroid?
I was sitting watching this movie with my foot up in a plantar fasciitis brace.
Which, by the way, we have the exact same brace, which is super funny to me. Bought at different times in different years apart. It's the same brace.
God damn it. Falling apart.
We are a Fargan mess.
We are Ma Kelly.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So they have to do a thyroid search because they can't find it. And this week only, it'll be $9.99. So he has to sign on full time with the Dundee gang in order to pay for the rising health costs.
Got
to
make that money.
Dundee at this time is still at war with Maroney, and Johnny becomes like a huge celebrity as being part of the gang in his own neighborhood. He'll go back to the old neighborhood. And also in the neighborhood now, we have the Pope, Dom DeLuise, as a Pope. I thought we were going to get him more throughout the movie. We get him once in this scene.
Right?
I was like, oh, well, he's on the back of the cover. Obviously, he's a major player. He is not.
One cameo appearance,
yeah.
and then out.
That was it. Yeah, he's just collected money to keep quiet. And like, you know, he's like, now, what am I? I'm Johnny, and I have a famous nightclub. Because everybody in the town knows he's a famous gangster, except for his mother and his brother.
That's right.
Yes.
And he's you know, always gives back to the community. Mm-hmm. He's that, you know, kind of like local hero. But yeah, his mom can't know that he does crime.
It'll break her heart.
It'll break her heart.
So he visits his mom. And also, when he sees his mom, he does like a little fake jab at her. So we saw that earlier in the movie. And then this here, he does it. And she falls on the ground. And she was like, I love him, but one day I'm going to knock him on his ass. So funny. Just goofy.
Gotta watch that hook, Ma.
I kind of want to do that with my mother now just to see what happens.
All right.
You know, like I want that to be the thing now where I just want to be able to say that to my own mother.
If you could have a GoPro on at the time so we can get the results for Huntsville Home Video social media, that would be great.
Honestly, she'd probably kick my ass.
Which would also be funny.
Well, that's true. Whatever I got to do for the podcast, right?
Right. Anything for the chuckles.
Anything for the chuckles. So she's cooking beer and noodles on the stove. Revolutionary. And Johnny wants her to retire from doing laundry. She's got that big ass laundry room where shirts are everywhere. And Tommy is now being a problem because he's wanting to leave law school. He's been at law school, but he wants to get married to Sally. Was that her name? Yeah. Sally?
He wants to get laid.
He just needs to get laid, right? And he doesn't want to say it in front of his mom, but as soon as Johnny leaves, she was like, come on, you want to get laid, right?
Like I get the movies about Johnny Dangerously, but I want to see a Ma Kelly movie.
Ma Kelly, The Beginning would be a great movie.
Like she was kind of the unsung hero of this movie. I love Ma Kelly.
She saves everything pretty much at the end, yep. You know? Oh, so back in the club, I guess Dundee's club, Johnny meets Lil Sheridan, a singer. And he's also like bombarded by all of the girls. And one of them says, I'm not wearing a bra. And he's like, that makes two of us. Went, ah, that's smooth. So he macks on Lil. And then Lil is the one who says, your last name's an adverb. Killed me. Absolutely killed me. So we also meet in the gang. Two new members. We've got Danny Vermin.
All grown up.
The terrible paper boy and his sidekick, Dutch. They're the two new members of the gang. Yeah, and
I used to beat up Danny all the time back in the day.
And Vermin's like, yeah, I became a real scumbag.
I fulfilled a lot of people's expectations about me. I became a real scumbag. Joe Piscopo, that dude is awesome.
Amazing. He was so good.
Did you ever watch any old Saturday Night Live?
I know I've seen bits, but
he's from that era, like right. The Eddie Murphy. They've done a lot of great bits together. Joe Piscopo went on to do some movie work as well in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Played a lot of gangsters like Danny Vermin, oddly enough.
Okay. Well, so, he does a good job with it.
So good. I love his cadence. I love his delivery. Mm-hmm. That pencil-thin mustache just makes him look extra gangstery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So while they're in Dundee's office, a big delivery comes in. And I love every time somebody comes through the door in Dundee's office, all of them draw their guns.
Yeah, like they, little knock at the door, guns out.
Right, exactly. It doesn't matter who it is. It's just automatic guns out. And so this big delivery comes in, and it's a crate with a robot Maroney and a machine gun. And I don't think it gets anybody at all.
No, doesn't hit a soul.
Doesn't hit a soul. And he says, I'm going to take over Club 25. If any of you are left, I'm taking over Club 25. So Vermin then is like, hey, we got to take care of this guy. Quit fighting with him. And he's got an 88 Magnum.
Yeah.
It's this long barrel pistol. And he's like, when he goes, and I don't know why it's so damn funny to me, but he was like, it shoots through schools.
Yes. Fuck, that line made me howl.
I died.
I thought that line was funny back then.
Right.
Now it's funny for a whole different reason.
It's so realistic now.
It's like, oh man, you can't say that in a movie anymore because motherfuckers shoot through schools.
They do. But I died.
I hadn't watched this movie in quite a while. And then I remembered, like, right as he was pulling the gun, I'm like, oh shit, this line kills me. And then as soon as he dropped it, it shoots through schools. Just hyena laughed.
I knew that'd be your favorite.
Oh man, so good. I fucking love that line.
It was so good. Shoots through schools.
For like the next couple days afterwards, I was just like, it shoots through schools. That's fucking funny. That's fucking funny.
We are terrible people.
Yeah.
Oh, so Johnny would rather handle it in a more subtle way, in a different way, right? So then you get this scene of him in a plane and they're flying over and he literally gets his hand and drops a bomb out of his hand onto the club.
And then right as he lets go of the bomb, there's Maroney on the ground level. And he's just like, okay, we need more space. We need to take out that fargan wall and that fargan wall. And then the bomb drops and the
and it blows up the club, and it doesn't kill them at all. It just, they're standing in the exact same spot when the smoke clears. They're just like, obviously they've had like they're black with soot,
yeah,
but they don't get injured at all. And it's a fargan war.
Lumnum a batch. That was fun. Oh,
God, it was good. So that night, Tommy meets with Johnny because they're going to discuss this whole thing, why he's going to leave law school. Right. And he's like, I got to get laid or I'm going to die. Like that's pretty much it. That's why he wants to get married so soon and drop out and all this sorts of stuff. So Johnny decides to teach Tommy some things about why he should wait on getting laid. And it's a presentation of your testicles and you.
Such a great take on those old horrible health videos that you'd have to watch in school.
Yes.
Did you watch those in high school? Like the equivalent of those?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were all horrible.
They were terrible.
And none of them really delivered the message they were trying to deliver.
No. It was just old people telling you, hey, don't bang.
You're right. Hey, you don't want to have sex because that can lead to a bunch of bad things and blah, blah, blah. I remember one. And it wasn't even like sex education. It was driver's education. But they put a bunch of teenagers in the video who were A, bad actors, but also B, talking like kids do not talk.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, Sally, what's up? Oh, not much, Tyler. What are you doing? Man, I'm going to go get my driver's license. Me and the dudes are going to hang out, go cruising for chicks.
Yeah.
Said no one ever.
Said no one.
Yeah, just super awkward. Those health videos, those are even worse.
Yeah. No, don't miss those at all.
No. I remember one time in high school in sex ed class, the teacher was doing an experiment on like, hey, this is how easily STDs can pass around. So everyone had a cut. Did you do this?
Oh my God, yeah.
Where everyone had like a cup of water and you had to dip your Oh, what did you do?
No. Go ahead. No, tell what you did.
Okay, so everyone had this. They all looked like the same, and everyone took a little iodine dropper, and you know, took like some of their water, and then he's like, "Okay, you put your water. You like drop a couple drops into this cup, and you drop a couple drops into this cup." And one of them had like I don't know what was in it, but something to turn the water a different color.
Okay,
and so like 10 people's water didn't change color, but 3 people's had, you know, like it turned purple. It's like, well, congratulations. Now you have syphilis.
Ah.
Like that's how that works. And so everyone was kind of like, oh, ha ha ha. Okay, I get it. But then there was this jock over in the corner that like one of the kids who had syphilis and started spreading it to everyone else, you know, he just goes, oh my God, you had sex with that dude. So good. I mean, really, what kind of what kind of result did you expect from a bunch of 16-year-olds dipping water in other people's water?
Exactly. You can't water dip at 16.
Oh, my God. You had sex with him? What the hell?
I love that.
What did you do?
Well, no, we kind of did a similar thing, but it wasn't that elaborate with water. It was just we had folded up pieces of paper that we all got. Then they passed it out to everyone. And then we had to like shake hands. Like everybody had to shake like however many people's hand, like 5 people's hands. And you had to keep track of who you shook hands with. Right. And so then everybody had to open up their piece of paper and somebody had an STD. And yours truly had AIDS.
Oh, wow.
So I gave everybody AIDS.
You got the big gun.
I had AIDS. Wow. I was the one person in the class that had the AIDS, and I gave it to everyone. And then the big joke was, Lance got AIDS.
Yo, Lance got the HIV, yo.
And that went past health class. It went on for a while.
Remember that time Leanne gave everybody AIDS?
Wait, was that before or after Homecoming Queen?
Oh, surprising. That was before.
So maybe that's why they gave you homecoming queen.
Right?
They're like, oh, she has AIDS.
We should
really make her homecoming queen before she dies.
She doesn't have long.
Just, you start listening to Bruce Springsteen a lot more. Have an affinity for Tom Hanks movies.
No, but I listen to a lot of Queen. That's terrible. That was mean.
We will rock you.
Rock you all the way to your deathbed, motherfucker. Anyway, we got on the screen. That's terrible. I like Queen. So, the presentation of your testicles and you. And there's these men walking around with large ass balls, like with canes and walkers.
And it's all animated, by the way. We should point that out. It's a cartoon of just like an anthropomorphic testicle. He's got little like hair follicles coming off him.
And then like Betty Boop is.
Yes.
arousing him.
And yeah, he's just like walking along whistling.
As testicles are known to do, as enlarged scrotum syndrome is supposed to make you do. And basically the moral of the story is that if your scrotum and your testicles are overused, like a balloon, they can blow up. So after seeing those animated balls blow up, Tommy decides to go back to law school.
I mean, probably a good call.
I can imagine if you were threatened that your balls were going to, I don't have any specifically, but I feel like if I had some and somebody told me they would blow up, I feel like I'd be careful with them.
I have had friends that have had accidents involving that area.
Right.
And just them telling the story. I'm like, no, do not want to hear.
No. Anyway, so Tommy runs off. He goes back to law school. I talk for a living. So at the club, Johnny is then named as Dundee's successor because he's going to keep that gang, the New York Yankees of crime. He's going to carry on correctly after old Dundee leaves, right? So then Lil performs and she wants to eat dangerously.
He wants to get all up on that Johnny Dangerously.
And so she performs at the club, and I like that, you know, she's going around from table to table, and that one guy takes off his wife's bracelet to give to Lil. She knocks the hell out of him. So, you know, and Johnny's trying. He's trying real hard. Lil's putting up a little bit of a fight against him, you know what I mean? And so they start to walk, and they start to get to know each other, and then they keep walking and talking, and then, like, the scenery keeps changing because they keep walking, and finally they're like on a hill out in the woods somewhere. I'm like, where the hell are we? So he eventually just talks her out of her dress, essentially. And so they start to get together, and then the fireworks go, and then it changes to Dundee's office, and there's fireworks in the background. He's like, looks like Johnny's getting laid.
Yes. To this day, whenever there are fireworks, I always say, Johnny's getting laid.
4th of July is going to be different for me this year now.
Right?
Right? Now I'm going to see that and be like, Johnny's getting laid. Mom, what?
We should just go to fireworks displays, just walking as soon as like the big explosion's going, Johnny's getting laid.
Right.
Try to find the one person that gets that reference and make them our friend.
They'll be a friend for life.
Yep.
Friend for life.
Because I can tell you, if I was at a fireworks show and someone walked by me and said that, I'd be like, oh, you're going to be my best friend forever. Yes.
Yeah, we're buddies.
Johnny Dangerously? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. You bargain ice hole. High five. These other dumb bastiches don't know what good movies are.
No, they don't. So after that scene, I guess it's the next day where Johnny goes to visit Dundee and he has to make it through all of the warfare that's going on. Like it looks like a mannequin, but it's actually someone with a machine gun. And he's like having to hide behind sandbags and crawl in order to get to Dundee's office. And Dundee actually ends up getting attacked in his bathroom. Oh no, there was a plumber in there, and now a bomb goes off and he has something in his hand and he thinks that he got his dork blown off.
Which is one of my favorite terms for a penis.
I had never heard that before life. I had never heard a dork ever in reference to that, but now it's my favorite because that was so funny. Luckily, it wasn't as dork.
It was not as dork, not as hog.
It was the chain.
Not as crank, not Mr. Wendell.
Crank is also... Crank's my favorite because of Sunny in Philadelphia. Because Danny DeVito's like, not only did you service my crank, you serviced my heart.
Yep.
Crank has never been funnier to me than when Danny DeVito said it in Sunny in Philadelphia. Crank. So, anyways, it was just the chain for the toilet. Because back then in those days, you had to pull a chain to get it to flush. So because of this, he decides to retire and Johnny takes over. Now, when Johnny takes over, a lot happens. A truce happens with Maroney. Also, things start going strong with Lil. And let's see, while the movies. Oh, yeah. This is here where I put in here where we cut back to Johnny. And this is where he's putting the stickers.
Yeah.
Put the stickers on the dog. But then when we pop back to him telling the story here, he spit shining the turtles.
Really taking care of these animals.
It's so good. So then he tells this boy that he's telling the story to. He says, now we get to the greatest challenge of my life. Now Tommy has graduated law school and his mom is looking for the camera to, again, like you say, these gags, and she's pulling out everything out of her purse. One, it's like a raw steak and then a wig and then like her freaking vibrator. It was atrocious. It was terrible. She's just handing it off. And Tommy or Johnny wants to hook Tommy up as a big defense attorney, you know, because that'll only help him out in his ring of crime. But Tommy's going to go work for the DA and fight crime.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to get crime off the streets. And also another line that killed me is before the photo, their mom pours Tommy a drink and he's like, Mom, it's prohibition. And she tells him to stop acting like a word we can't say anymore, choir boy. If you don't know what word I'm talking about, it's been banned, unfortunately, because it's a funny ass word. Anyways, Johnny, I think at this time, decides, since his brother's going to work in the DA, that he's going to start clean living again. You know, he's not going to get it. He's not going to keep going. But now his mom needs a new salivary gland.
The problems continue for poor Ma Kelly.
Right. And isn't it like $7,000 this time or some astronomical number? Yeah. I can't remember. So, you know, he's got to get more money. But luckily, the DA is pretty much on the payroll for Johnny. So all should be good. And so Tommy goes in on his first day of work with his stuff and he's optimistic and he meets the DA who's getting a blowy under the desk. I love how he gets up and you still just see feet sit under the desk. Like it's just, if you could miss it if you weren't really paying attention. It was super funny. And that is Danny DeVito. I don't know what his name was in the movie. He's just the DA DeVito.
DA DeVito.
So Tommy wants to become a relentless crime fighter and he wants to go after Maroney. And he even gets Maroney to trial and he's questioning him, right? And he's asking, like, where were you? Does this gun look familiar? And he was like, if a train leaves Chicago at 300 miles an hour.
That whole cross-examination is just ridiculous. It gets more and more absurd as every question goes on.
And it's that standard word problem we always got in school. And Maroney's just like, it's a trick question.
You eyesholes, you summoned them a batch of cork suckers.
Cork suckers, yeah. So Maroney ends up getting deported to Sweden.
And he's not even from there.
He's not even from there. Says he's not from there. That was such a good headline. So
I loved Maroney because as a foul-mouthed youth, mm-hmm, that would often get in trouble in school for using the dirty words,
uh-huh,
I just started regurgitating his play on him. And
nice.
I still got in trouble for him.
Mm-hmm.
We know what you're trying to say.
Right.
But I'm not saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it. Stop it. We know what you're doing.
Don't Don't you hate that technicality that parents refuse to understand?
Bull spit.
That, right? I'm trying to think of one and I can't. I can't. I've gotten too used to the real thing. So, meanwhile, the gang does not know that Tommy and Johnny are related. And when the gang wants to go after Tommy, you know, Johnny keeps trying to stop them. So now Vermin's kind of getting everybody to think that maybe the gang is getting soft.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe getting a little soft. In fact, one of them would even rather tell people that he was a male nurse as opposed to an actual gangster.
Yeah.
But hey, they're successful. Johnny riles up the troops. He's like, hey, you're successful. How many hats do you own? 180 hats.
180 you're doing hats. Well. Look at that.
You can't be doing bad and have 180 hats.
That's a true story.
You can't. So Vermin decides that he's going to figure out whatever is fishy between Johnny and Tommy. Meanwhile, Tommy visits the DA, and he says that he has enough evidence to arrest Johnny Dangerously. And also, they don't know what Johnny Dangerously looks like because there's a drawing in the paper. Nothing. It looks like a young Rambo. It was
Sylvester Stallone. Okay. Yeah, that was the gag.
Okay, great. Because I was like, that looks like
looks like a young Rambo.
Why did I not get that joke? Why did I just think that was a coincidence? Like, why does that look like Rambo?
That was so good. That is just one. That's a pure innocent Lily thing to say.
No, it was a stupid ass thing to say. Which is also a pure Lily thing
right.
to do.
That's yeah, what okay. I'm talking about.
Okay. All right.
It was Fargan Gold.
Okay.
Why does that look like a young Rambo? Because it is.
Oh.
Oh. Summon him a batch.
Look at them using comedy in a funny movie.
Well, see, it's funny because. It actually is Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, man, I'm so dumb.
So
anyway.
Precious, God damn it.
So anyways, so they don't know what he looks like. They just think he looks like Sylvester Stallone. So the DA decides to show Tommy something. I feel so dumb. So he decides to show Tommy something, and he turns like a wall that spins around, and it's like a game show, and he's like, it's time to play ball! Which was brilliantly done. And he's like, here's what Tommy will get if he just plays ball! And there's an oven, and there's the ship, the boat, S.S. Kelly, right? And a mansion, and all this stuff he would get if he just plays ball. A fur coat, diamonds. But Tommy's not going to play ball. No, he's not going to. He's going to see the DA behind bars. So... meanwhile, in the middle of this, Vermin is sitting at Johnny's desk and he answers the phone and the DA needs to know what to do about this because we got a problem. And so Vermin, faking, goes, kill him.
Let me ask Johnny. Hey, Johnny, what do you think we should do about this dude? He says we should kill him.
Which I have done before. Because I'm simple.
Because you're simple.
And so then... the brakes fail in Tommy's car, and that dramatic ass wreck was insane.
Oh, God.
And then do you just see the slow tumbling of an old vehicle? It's like, oh, so good. So the family now goes to the Kelly family, goes to visit him in the hospital. And they're these two men are in a room and they're in full body casts, so you don't know who's who. And she's like, "Oh, I see him. He's got his father's eyes." And she writes on him with a marker, Tommy. So Johnny finds out that it was failed brakes, so he knows there's a rat. So Johnny goes to meet with the DA DeVito, and he gives him a gift, a red smoking jacket. Which looked awesome. And then they're drinking and he's like, oh, what is this? And it's malt liquor, which I thought was hilarious too. And so in the most ridiculous display of death I've ever seen in my life, Johnny leaves the table and, you know, the DA is holding up his smoking jacket, this red smoking jacket. And then all of a sudden things start to rumble and this damn Bull jumps through the window to attack, and it kills Danny DeVito because of the red smoking jacket.
So this is a reference that is well before your time.
Okay.
But do you get that reference? Like why they were drinking malt liquor? It was Colt 45. Because a bull charging through the wall was in the Colt 45 commercials.
Oh, no. No, I didn't know that part. I didn't know why they were drinking malt liquor.
And then that's even like when the next scene flashes, it says a DA killed by commercial.
Okay, I didn't understand that at all. I was like, I don't understand this.
It was a Colt 45 bull.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, hell, that's even funnier now.
Now you're going to have to go YouTube some Colt 45 commercials.
Absolutely. I want that in my search history.
Billy D. Williams was in those commercials.
Was he really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He was a spokesman for Colt 45. Old smooth jive talking Billy D.
Oh, I love that so much. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now I can't wait to watch those. Thank you for clearing that one up.
Anytime. It
wasn't as easy as the Stallone picture, but.
Well.
Anyway.
Why did it look like a young Rambo?
Because it was supposed to, you dimwit. You dope.
What? Why are these things funny? Could you explain the comedy to me?
So.
I just need to know the jokes.
Oh, I hate who I am sometimes.
No.
This bitch didn't get the joke.
No, Lily, no.
No. So now the DA is dead, which is unfortunate because now that puts Tommy in charge. Now he's the DA. He first was the assistant. Now he's the DA. So we also get to see where Johnny lives here at this next scene. He lives at Gangster Arms with like, and all of the gangsters have their post office box, their mailboxes. And even Capone's wife comes by and asks to borrow a cup of bullets. Oh, it's so good. And here Lil wants a kid and Johnny's kind of liking the idea, you know, and so they're thinking about getting out of the mob business, right? Well, now Tommy and Sally was her name. Tommy and Sally are getting married at the courthouse. And Vermin follows Johnny, who attends the wedding. And also he parks in the handicap spot because he's psychotic. Yes.
I don't think you're allowed to park here. I am handicapped. I'm psychotic.
that drawing of just some idiot pointing at his brain.
Which is another thing you probably couldn't joke about today.
No,
you can't joke about mental health issues.
No.
Whatever.
We have to normalize it for everybody.
He's off his fucking rocking chair. Like, let him just be handicapped and psychotic.
Right. So at the wedding. And Ma Kelly, she tells Lil, she's like, you're like a daughter of me, so I want to tell you something. I go both ways.
Ma Kelly.
Oh, God. So, meanwhile, Tommy and Sally can't wait anymore, right? And they head to the janitor's closet to ease the tension, right? And
you ever been dorked in a janitor's closet?
No, I haven't been dorked in a janitor's closet. No.
Well, you're still young.
You know,
add it to the Tinder profile. Who's down to dork in a closet this weekend?
Dork is a verb, and I love it.
Meet me at Campus 805 for some dorking.
For some dorking. Oh, my God. So, anyway. What? They're spotted by Vermin and Dutch. And they find out that Johnny and Tommy are brothers. And so they say it. And I love when they're saying it in the hallway. They're like, Johnny and Tommy, you know, Tommy's the brother to Johnny Dangerously. And they're dorking in the janitor closet. And and Tommy's like, what? And then the two outside repeat it. Like, it was super funny. So Tommy tells Johnny, he's like, I can't put you away. So we'll fist fight here. And if Johnny wins, Tommy will quit being a DA. And if Tommy wins, Johnny will have to quit being a gangster, right? So they each get their own little vision. And Johnny gets a vision of his mother going, Johnny, take a dive. So Johnny takes the dive. And when he returns to the office, Vermin tells everybody the secret. that they are brothers. And he's like, I'm going to go legit. I'm going to turn the club into the crime commissioner. I'm not going to give any of you up, but I'm out of it. I'm done. But Vermin and Dutch have already killed the crime commissioner. Oh, no. And then he set it up to make it look like Johnny actually killed the crime commissioner. Dirty, dirty mother fargers.
Vermin. I mean, he lives up to his last name. A lot of people thought he was going to be a scumbag.
He's a scumbag, right?
He's a fargin scumbag.
Oh, my goodness. And then when they do this, they pass a very racist lady who's mopping the floor, and they pay her $17,000 to keep quiet. So Vermin's now going to take over. Johnny gets taken in, and he gets his picture taken, and he's like, make it a good one, boys. I've never been photographed in the paper, and it's so bright because the flash bulbs, his eyes are closed, his face is great. So while he is at the judge, or at the, you know, where if he, when he's in the courtroom, he realizes that his cigarette case is missing, his lucky cigarette case, and he goes, whoever has the case is the killer. Keep that in mind. So Johnny, it's a very quick, we don't even get into trial. We just hear about the trial, and then he gets convicted in like the same day. We don't wait around like we do nowadays in the justice system.
No, swift justice.
Swift justice. So he gets convicted, and one of them gets confronted by, or Vermin confronts Tommy, I think, or the family, and they see that he's got the cigarette case because Ma Kelly kicks him in the balls, and the cigarette case pops out.
We also have failed at this point to discuss a recurring gag from like earlier in the movie. Johnny lifts up Danny and like hangs him on a coat hook. He's like, you shouldn't hang me on a coat hook, Johnny. My mother hanged me on a coat hook once.
Once. And so anything that anybody does to him, it's once.
Hey, you shouldn't do that to me, Johnny. So-and-so did this to me once.
Once. You shouldn't kick a man in the balls, lady. They did that to me. My sister did that to me. Once.
My sister kneed me in the balls once.
Once. So Johnny now is sent off to the big house, and he goes to death row. Oh, no. And while he's going through, he's saying hi to all the people in the cells. He even says hi to his pops. He's like, hey, pops, still here? And he's so charismatic, and everyone is excited to have him, even the warden. And Lil visits him there and says that Vermin's now making a play for her. So he was like, follow that and get him to confess. Meanwhile, Tommy is trying to prove Johnny's innocence, because even though he put him in jail, now he realizes about the cigarette case. And so now he's got to get him out of jail, right? And Ma Kelly has now come up with a plan. So she visits. She saves the day, really. She goes and visits the racist lady witness who was paid off. And she was, and the lady's like, why should I listen to you? And Ma Kelly goes, we have a lot in common. We both scrub floors. We're both lookers. And we're not Chinese.
Yeah, you got me there.
Like, yeah, you got a point. And she pays her $19.5 to tell the truth now. And she, and the lady gets the money, and she looks at the camera. And she's like, I'm having a good year. Goodness. So
this movie is so good, you know, not just with the sight gags, but just the little zingers.
Yes.
Like, they never stop coming.
No, there's like, not a lull.
In a lot of comedies, you get like, here's a funny bit, here's 10 minutes of nothing.
Right. No.
Funny bit, 10 minutes. You know, this is just like, I mean, they're so quick paced and it's always firing.
As David Spade would say, bits, 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 bits. So Tommy then serves Vermin with a subpoena. And Vermin now decides to kill Tommy at the Savoy Theater tonight. Because haven't you listened to the radio? I know exactly where he's going to be. And he turns on the radio and he's like, he's going to see the new Gene Kelly movie.
Wait, what theater? And then he turns the radio off. Wait, what theater was it at? Turns the theater radio back on. Is that the Savoy Theater?
Yes.
I love that movie cliche of like, whenever you need a piece of information, the TV radio. You turn the TV on, it's always at that piece.
The exact turn moment
the radio
you need
on.
It.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There's a show that I've been trying to convince you to watch for a while now, Community.
Right.
One of my favorites.
Look, I need everybody to know that I am on the Shield. I am almost done with the second season of Shield. I can't do two at one time.
Totally understandable.
Okay.
Totally get
it. So I'm going to need you to calm it down over there, bro.
Hey, whoa.
Let me finish the Shield, and then we can talk about Community.
Just chill the flip out.
Chill the flip out.
I just want to tell you about a little bit in Community.
Okay.
They're telling Halloween stories, and one of the characters comments on, you know, oh, everyone turns on a TV or a radio at the exact moment of time. It's unbelievable. In my story, and then it cuts to their story, and it's him and the woman of the story, and they're sitting in a cabin in the woods, mm-hmm. and they're just sitting there listening to a radio, and it's just music, like elevator music,
uh-huh.
and they're just sitting there for an uncomfortable amount of time, just dun, 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 dun. Da, 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 da. And then it cuts back to him telling the story to this group of people, mm-hmm. and he's humming the music. He's like, like, Abed, tell a story. He's like, no, we have to like wait until they actually hear about it on the radio.
That's great. So
you're just like, yeah, cool.
No, actually, that's really funny. I like that kind of stuff. I'm going to love that show.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. I was just messing with you. I was just messing with you, friend.
Arsehole.
I know. So, let's see. We're going to have to kill Tommy. Yeah, that's where we're at. So, Lil is in the office because she was trying to get with Vermin, so to get information. So, she sends the parrot off with a message to the prison. And it is that, you know, Vermin is going to kill Tommy at the Savoy?
Yeah.
Savoy Theater? And when the message hits, it goes down the grapevine, right? So it turns into first his mother's going to kill his brother, and then the brother's going to kill whoever. And it just goes through the grapevine, and the message is completely different by the time it gets to Johnny. Thank goodness he understands it completely because he knows this grapevine, and he's able to pick apart that Vermin is going to be killing Tommy at the Savoy Theater.
Did you ever play that game in school?
Yes.
I would be that Forgan Corksucker that would always purposely.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever, you know, if it's like, oh, Sally's wearing a purple dress.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey likes bananas.
Now, see, I was the opposite because I wanted to make sure that I got it absolutely right because I was going to, like, that was going to make me win. And then if the message was wrong, which it's always wrong, I was like, oh, was I the one that messed up the grapevine? I've always felt like I was the bad grape.
All right. It was a young Sylvester Stallone. Pass it on.
It's old Rambo. Oh, God. Damn it. So, what a day.
So pure.
What a day. So, Johnny has a freak out. He fakes a freak out to convince the warden to fry him tonight. He doesn't want any more waiting. He can't wait for 2 weeks. He's got to get fried tonight in the electric chair. And so he requests a priest, and the priest brings him a big, big thick Bible, and when he opens it, it's just parts to a gun, or it's a gun part. And so as they're walking down the line, also, since the Bible is fake, the priest is like reading from the Bible, but then it turns into just gibberish and just nonsense.
Magna Carta, Prima Nocta.
Yes.
How do you do? I do so-so.
It's so good. And while he's saying goodbye to all his inmates, they're all handing him pieces to the gun to assemble this gun. And he's like, oh, I should have paid better attention in shop class because he can't get it together. But anyways, he eventually fakes it and he escapes and he heads to the Savoy Theater. And there's so while he's heading out, he's with Lil and the priest, and he is, they're driving this black car, and it comes over the APB's, like, you know, they're in a black sedan. So, but it's just shelf paper. So then Johnny has to get out, and he has to tear off the black shelf paper to reveal a white car.
Then it cuts back to the chief, attention all cars. Suspects now seen traveling in a white sedan.
So now he's got to peel the white shelf paper off, which it's now blue with duckies on it.
And then they dress up as nuns.
And then they're nuns.
Calling all cars.
Now you're not going to believe this. So good. So good. And they do all the disguises that keep changing anyways. But Johnny makes it. And Vermin is cutting the screen of the movie to shoot through the screen and shoot Tommy. But luckily, Johnny makes it in time. He jumps and he jumps in front of his brother and he's able to shoot Vermin, and Vermin falls through the screen. And Tony gets hit. But guess what? It hits the cigarette case. Oh, how nice. So right then and there, Johnny gets pardoned.
Like immediately.
Immediately.
I'm going to pardon you right here on the spot.
Because they all love him. They all love Johnny Dangerously. Who doesn't love Johnny Dangerously? So they pardon him there, and he and Lil decide to start a little gang of their own. Oh, babies.
Bargain adorable.
Bargain adorable. So then we cut back to the current day, the pet shop, and that's the end of the story. And before the boy leaves that he told the story to, he gives him a kitten, which I think he came in there to steal a puppy, but now he leaves with a kitten.
Right.
Whatever. And he tells the boy, now remember, crime doesn't pay. But then when he leaves, he gets his ride, and he's got his suit on and everything, and he's like, well, it does a little.
Right. Great message.
Great message. At the end of the movie, and that is the end of Johnny Dangerously.
Great flick.
It was super. I really liked it.
Also, quick aside, the movie that they're playing at the theater is a movie called The Roaring Twenties with James Cagney, who James Cagney very much influenced Michael Keaton in his portrayal of Johnny Dangerously.
Okay.
And The Roaring Twenties is whenever you read lists of movies, you know, like old-timey gangster flicks that you probably should see, that's always on the list.
Okay. Okay.
Pretty decent movie.
All right. Well, I thought this was a decent movie. It made me laugh. When I laughed, I howled. Like, it would get me right at my core.
Like, there's some solid gut-chuckling bits in this movie. It shoots through schools being one of them. And now, for the rest of my days, whenever I watch this movie, why does that look like a young Rambo? Like, that's now in there. That is in there forever.
I don't know why I didn't get the joke. I mean, because when I saw it, I went, that looks like Sylvester Stallone. And then, like, I didn't even put it together that that was the point.
Like, I can totally understand that you didn't catch the red or the Colt 45 reference. Because, I mean, that's a dated bit. You know, that's something that you kind of had to be around for and know.
Right.
But I mean, Stallone is Stallone.
I mean, I knew it was Stallone. I don't know why I just didn't go all the way with the idea. Like, well, why wouldn't it be there for funny reasons? And then I thought, well, this feels so stupid.
Oh, it's so good to me. It's just pure and innocent and adorable.
Maybe I'm just having an off day today, Jack.
Oh, man. No, it's too good. It was too good. Too good.
So anyways, other than that little faux pas, I had a wonderful time.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I was watching... After I rewatched the movie, I kind of fell down a Michael Keaton YouTube rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Just watching like interviews and stuff with him. And he did a movie, I think it was around like 2011, called Spotlight.
Okay.
And it was about the scandal in the Catholic Church with all the molestation and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so Michael Keaton was on the Today Show talking about, you know, kind of what went into the making of the movie and this and that. And he's like, actually, yeah, I went to the Vatican. A lot of Johnny Dangerously fans in the Vatican, which I don't even know if that's true. But like Michael Keaton just said it so convincingly, much like, you know, when I was like, oh, yeah, that was Michael Keaton dancing. And you're like, was it really?
Oh, my gosh. I hope that's really true.
Right.
Either way, it's epic. But I hope it's true.
Also, not enough Johnny Dangerously fans in the world. This movie did not do well.
I was going to ask you about that because I looked up the cast because I was looking up somebody's name. I can't remember who it was now to see who they were. But I noticed that it didn't have the greatest rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. And it's one of those that it's the Rotten Tomato rating is kind of poor, but the audience rating is high.
Okay.
And I always go with the audience rating because like, you know, critics are fucking critics.
Fargum.
Mm-hmm. Fargum all.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of dirty sumnama batches.
Right.
Trying to just take everyone's joy away.
If they could just stop being a bunch of ice holes, that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Learn to appreciate Johnny Dangerously for the just comedy gold that it is.
For the best that she is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
Did we get them all in?
I think we got them all in there. But yeah, I've always been a bit disappointed that this movie never did better.
Mm-hmm.
And this is always one of the movies that I try to introduce people to if we're sitting around talking, you know, oh, have you seen this? No, we'll just check out Johnny Dangerously. Or, you know, host a podcast with someone knowing that eventually we'll get around to Johnny Dangerously.
That's me.
And today was that day. And Gosh darn it, this movie delivered the goods.
You didn't steer me wrong once again, Mr. Jack Spade.
I mean, my track record is pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. I'm your Dutch.
The Dutch to my vermin?
Yeah.
All right.
Is there been anything any more accurate?
It shoots through schools.
I knew that was the line. Because you said, so before we watch this, maybe you said it on the last podcast, or maybe we said it off the air.
No, it was off air, or like later this week when I dropped off the DVD to you.
You did. And you were like, I forgot, but there is a line in here that made me howl. And I was like, I'll find it. And he goes, I think you will. And I knew when I heard it, I was like, that's it. Because I died.
Yeah. A close second would be anything that Ma Kelly said.
Yes. Yeah.
Holy crow, is she funny.
Honest to God, her line at the graduation is another one that got me that we can't say on the podcast because I don't want to get canceled. We've already made it to 50. I don't want to get canceled. I need to get further down the road.
But we won't get canceled immediately.
No.
We'll get canceled in like 5-10 mm-hmm. years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm probably already in trouble because I think it's hilarious.
Right. Yeah. Well, Leanne thought this line was funny 15 years ago.
Yeah.
We have to cancel her. She's done now.
Yep.
Listen to a lot of episodes of Huntsville Home Video, do you? No.
Nope, just that one snippet.
But I heard on Twitter.
I hate it. I hate the world.
Yep.
I know.
Thankfully, there are great movies like Johnny Dangerously to help us zone out for a couple hours.
Thank goodness we're friends.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Man, this life sucks. Here, watch this TV show. It's amazing. Yeah, you're right. Hey, watch this movie. It's really good. Yeah, you're right.
You know what I thought of the other day? I was like, when is there ever going to be a point in my life now where I'm not going to have to come to you and be like, yeah, you were right.
Never.
Never. Because I was trying to think about it because I was watching The Shield and I'm hooked. I'm so hooked on the show. And I'm like, is there ever going to be a time where I can recommend something to Jack? And I was like, I don't think there ever will be. There will never be a moment where the tides change and it's like, hey, Leanne, you were right about such and such that I didn't know about previously, but you've introduced it. That will never happen to me.
Aw.
It's always going to be, yeah, Jack, you were right.
I mean, it might.
Maybe, but I just, the chances are slim. But I did think about that the other day. I was like, if there's ever going to be a time.
Well, you were telling me the other day that you're planning a Halloween Horror Night trip.
Yeah.
Universal Studios in mm-hmm. October. And I said, oh, when you're down in Orlando, you got to go to Hash House of Go-Go. It's an amazing restaurant. Mm-hmm. That'll be the next. Oh, my God, you were right. And you're going to sit there and whatever you eat, you're going to be like, gosh darn it.
Is that Orlando or Vegas? I thought that was Vegas.
It is Vegas, but they have one in Orlando.
They have one in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
And you're just going to sit there in front of that plate of amazing food and just be like, that farging ice hole was right again. This meal is delicious and I hate it.
It's no, I don't hate it. I'll still enjoy it. But it's just, and I don't even hate that it's my life now, but I'm like, this is my life now. Hey, you were right. It's my life now.
But, how much better is your life?
Oh, it gets greatly improved. That's why I can't be mad at it. You know, like it's useful. It serves a purpose. But I'm just like, you know, maybe one day I'll get one.
But or maybe you just find yourself like a little lackey and you just filter down all this information to them.
We'll make a pyramid scheme. Of,
yes.
Yeah. Of self-esteem.
Yeah.
You're at the top.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, maybe one day I'll feel confident enough to do that. I'll find one.
I figure by the time we get to around like episode 75, 80,
I think I'll be golden.
I mean, you'll have, and by then I'll have recommended so many more, you know, you'll have seen all The Shield, you'll have watched Community, yeah. And, mm-hmm. and you'd just be like, you know what? Yep. Time for me to go out into the world.
It's time for me to extend this wing for someone.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was a young Sylvester Stallone. You're going to say to someone at some point, and they're going to be like, oh my God, I didn't even get it.
Jack, let's be real. Everybody else got that joke except for me. I'm going to just have to take a loss on that one.
just racking up the L.
I'm just going to have to take the L and move forward.
All right.
I can't keep holding on to that.
That's fair.
I'll never be redeemed.
Ah, sure you will. Sure you will.
Oh, man.
Well, I am, you do know I always get a little bit nervous when I show you some of these movies because mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, what's she going to think? Especially the older movies that predate your existence.
Right.
Because you've even said, yo, I don't know if I understand the 80s humor or this or that. So I always get a little bit nervous. I'm like, well, like, I kind of come pre-prepared. Like, I might have to explain some things, mm-hmm. like the Colt 45 joke. I knew I'd have to explain that one. But even still, it was still on a base level, still funny.
Yes.
So, like I said, I do get a bit nervous sometimes, but I'm really, really, really glad you liked this
movie. We've done well. Anytime you've recommended a movie like that, though, we've done well.
True.
You know.
But there's still that nervousness there.
Of course.
You know.
Well, you know.
I'd hate to have to end our friendship because you hated Johnny Dangerously.
Would you have?
I mean, it definitely...
Does it rack up that high that you would have?
I would have maybe perhaps looked down on you a little bit.
I can't have that.
Like, I know, right?
Mm-mm.
That's not even true because then I wouldn't have anyone to make fun of. Like,
I've had a lot of people say that about me.
I say as you and I make fun of people together. It's so much more fun to talk shit about people with another person.
Yeah.
And that's us right now. Mm-hmm. We are, if we reach a certain age, we are Statler and Waldorf. We're going to be sitting up in a balcony just heckling everyone.
First of all, I love that spin on it. If we reach a certain age, if.
Yeah.
If we both do at the same time. yes, I, that is our future, actually.
Yeah.
That is so funny to me.
You are the Statler to my Waldorf.
Oh, the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I might be disappointed with you, but I can never stay mad at you because there's far too many people to make fun of and talk down to.
We got shit we got to do.
Yeah. You could have been like, you know what, Jack, I didn't like Johnny Dangerously. 0 stars. And I'm like, all right, well, join us next week for Huntsville Home Video. I'm going to take off. And then I'd leave and I'd be at Target or Walmart or something. And I'd see some just mouth breathing drag of humanity. I'd have to be like, you know what? Who do I tell him? Alien. Can't stay mad forever. Check out this screen cap of this mouth breather at Walmart.
We'd pick right back up.
Yeah.
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 I'd forgive you.
It's like Billy Bob from Sling Blade had sex with a sloth.
Ask him if he likes taters.
damn it. You know, Jack, upon reflection, Johnny Dangerously really wasn't all that bad. Still not my jam. 2 stars.
Now go slip some biscuits in his cart.
Thanks, Statler.
Anytime.
Overall, I got to give Johnny Dangerously 4 corksuckers out of 5.
I give him 4 corksuckers out of 5.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm glad you liked it. Really glad you liked it.
I'm just glad you didn't give it over 4. I didn't want to go over 4. So I'm glad you stopped at 4.
For me, a 5-star movie is that's a top 10. That's a perfect movie.
Right.
You know, there might be. From you can nitpick whatever, but for me personally, a 5-star movie is a perfect movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's your Jaws's of the world.
Your Jaws's,
the True Romance.
Yeah.
Those are the 5-star jams mm-hmm, right there. But mm-hmm. but I rank Johnny Dangerously pretty high. This is a movie, like I said, I haven't watched it in quite a few years, but I could turn this one on anytime and be entertained by it.
Like it.
Part of it is just like, you cannot take your eyes off of Michael Keaton. That dude is so entertaining in this movie.
He's
so
good.
Entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just the way he moves and how he speaks and his facial expression. Like, he's perfect in it.
Yeah. He's got a great delivery. You should go back and watch some of his older flicks, like the Mr. Moms and stuff like that. Also, great dramatic actor.
Right.
He did a movie called Clean and Sober.
Okay.
Which was super, not like Requiem for a Dream depressing, mm-hmm. but depressing.
Yeah. He's one of those that I know he's great. He's highly regarded and I like him anytime I've seen him, but I have not, like most actors, I have not given him his due, you know? So there's so much out there that I would like to watch because I feel like I would really, really love him.
I will even go so far as to say that Michael Keaton is underappreciated.
Okay.
I don't think enough people appreciate him.
All right.
I think people think of him as Batman and Beetlejuice.
Right.
You know, people more my age also will go back to like Mr. Mom, mm-hmm. which is a big one of his.
But like Night Shift was hilarious.
Okay.
Really liked the dude. Like his comedy work. I like his dramatic work. I thought he was a good Batman.
Okay.
And I'm excited to see him as Batman again.
Oh, that's right.
They're making the Flash movie, and he's apparently going to be old Bruce Wayne, which could go a couple different ways, depending on how they play it.
Do I got to get into DC now?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
Do you want to pick just things I might need to watch?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just hand pick them.
Yep. There'll be some hand picked. Here's some choice DC cuts. There's okay. like three of them.
Okay.
Because, yeah, their cinematic universe kind of a mess.
Is the Michael Keaton Batman movie the one with Jack Nicholson?
Yes, it is.
Okay, then I did see it. Why do I not remember?
That was another interview that I came across when I fell down the Michael Keaton rabbit hole on YouTube. He was talking about filming Batman with Jack Nicholson back in the day. Mm-hmm. And Jack Nicholson's a huge sports fan. And they're mm-hmm. filming over in London where they had BBC, you know, back in the late 80s. You couldn't get all the sports and everything that you had now.
Right.
So he's like, yeah, at one point, you know, Jack just comes in from the night before, sits down in the makeup chair, and he's just like, hey, Keats, how you doing there? Great dart tournament last night. Like, he was so hard up for sports, Jack Nicholson would just watch a dart tournament.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson is a national treasure.
Damn right.
Damn right.
We'll watch some Jack Nicholson movies eventually.
Yeah, why have we not had one yet? Have we had one? No, we haven't.
We have not, no.
What's wrong with you?
No, well, you know.
Get it together.
Well,
be better.
Watch it, Corksucker.
Whoa.
Watch it.
All right, okay.
Well, we should talk about what we want to watch next week.
Yes. Can I tell you what I want?
What do you want?
Can I make a request?
Yeah, what you want? What you want? You can have whatever you like.
We went two different directions, and I'm surprised. Like, you should have gone the Beastie Boys direction, and I should have gone the other way.
I should have gone the Beastie Boys.
We didn't. Okay. Well, I won this round.
I am no longer the illest motherfucker from here to Gardenia.
Yeah!
I am not cool as a cucumber. Nope.
Nope. Wasn't it in a bowl of hot sauce?
Yep.
Yep, wasn't that the words? Okay. So, I want either a scary movie or a thriller, like an intense thriller.
All right.
Like, because we've had light and I need to go back dark because that's me.
That's how the pendulum swings here at Huntsville. Home Video.
I want a good, probably a thriller, like a good. Yeah.
All right. We have talked about this movie before. It's been brought up in conversation. It's one that I've recommended and I think we're finally going to pull the trigger on it. I mean,
we didn't need it.
Yeah, like you made the explosion, like the trigger pulling.
Not really
I mean, that trigger was a young.
You can't make up for the Beastie Boys thing, so you just need to move along.
All right, fine. I'm lashing out now because I was put in my place.
Like a child.
Like a child.
Like the child you are.
It's time for a nap. You're getting cranky pants.
Do you want your binky?
Maybe. All right. Next week, I think we should give a review to a movie called Funny Games.
Yes, I've been wanting to watch that. We've talked about it multiple times.
There we go.
All right, let's do it.
There we go. Make sure you watch the U.S. version.
Okay.
Because this was a movie that the original director made the movie and then remade the movie pretty much shot for shot for American audiences.
Wonderful.
So yeah, we'll watch the American version. Has Naomi Watts.
Okay.
Tim Roth is in this movie as well. He's been in a few movies. In that Hulk movie that you loved so much.
Yeah.
He's in Reservoir Dogs that you actually did like a lot.
I did.
He's in that. And Michael Pitt, who played Mason Verger in the TV show for a season of the TV show in Hannibal before they replaced him.
Is he a creep? He's got to be the creep in this movie.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Maybe. Possibly.
Okay. I shouldn't have asked that question. What a dope.
Right. Yeah. Really.
What a dumb dumb.
Really. Such a bargain doof.
A doof. Okay.
All right. All right.
We've had our fun. Okay.
So we will watch Funny Games.
I'm in.
And then we will be back to talk about it next week.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Awesome. So between now and then, you should, in fact, right now, as a matter of fact, if you listen to this podcast, if your phone is in your hand, you should just head over to our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at
HSV Home Video. Even if you're driving, just do it.
Yeah. You know what? Everyone's like, hey, don't text and drive. You yourself probably say, hey, don't text and drive. But then you do it.
You do it anyway.
Like the cork sucking hypocrite that you are. And I do it too. Like I can't even.
I maybe do it too.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Everybody does. Everybody.
Everybody be breaking the law.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just go ahead and do it. You know, you might as well, while you're texting or whatever, just go ahead and give a like, give a subscribe.
And how great would it be if then we became one of those anti-texting and driving commercials where it's like you show scenes of the car wreck and they were just trying to hit the like button on Huntsville Home Video. And then they ask, was it worth it? And we say, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know how funny we are?
Have you taken a listen, bro?
Not many people get to leave this world on a chuckle.
That's it. That's it.
It shoots through schools. Bang, crash, dead. Your last memory was a hilarious one.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's my favorite of today.
All right. Boom. Saved it for the end.
Oh, Jesus.
Also, give a like to Underboss Photography over on Instagram, _photography. Michael over there, huge fan of the gangster films, loves The Godfather. It's where he got the name for his business.
Right.
I'll bet he could do some awesome, like a gangster photo shoot with us.
Oh, my God. I bet he could.
We should do that.
We probably should. I don't know why we haven't done it already.
Right?
To be honest.
We should just do movie-themed photo shoots.
Oh, my God.
That could be fun.
That would have been great.
Especially with the Space and Rocket Center here. We could do like some Apollo 11, Apollo 13 photo shoots.
Yeah.
We could fake the moon landing.
Well, the government did.
Or Stanley Kubrick, depending on what you believe.
Right. Which conspiracy theory you tend to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. No big deal.
But yeah, give Michael at Underboss Photography a call. We should think about some movie-themed photo shoots. That could be fun.
Yeah, I love dress up as a kid. We might as well go back to it.
I mean, and I look good in a gangster suit.
You know, take your word for it.
Yeah, just do that. Do that.
Do you have 180 hats?
No, I do not have 100. Things aren't going well for me because I don't have 180 hats, among other reasons.
Oh, man.
But yeah, next week, my friends, we will be back. We are going for, we're swinging the pendulum the other way for, we went from happy, funny, haha this week. We're going to scary thriller next week.
We don't keep you happy for long.
That's right.
We don't.
We build you up and we break you down.
Mm-hmm. We'll just do like that the world has done to us.
Over and over again.
Oh, metaphors.
We hope you join us next week. Let us break you down next week as we review Funny Games, a movie which I have seen, a movie which Leanne has not seen. And if you want to catch up, you have 7 days to do it. Or less if you're not listening to this podcast on Monday, which why wouldn't you? Because Mondays suck, and we just try to make your Mondays a little bit better.
Right. We suck slightly less than a Monday.
Yep. Huntsville Home Video. We suck slightly less than a Monday.
Not as good as a Tuesday, but we're better than a Monday.
Be kind and rewind. Fark and summon them a batch.